ready for this morning, and as I was preparing this week, I was going to talk about this really big thing that we're going to talk about next week. Again, look at your neighbor and say, show up next week. Just tell them that right now. Show up next week, all right? You got to show up, all right? If this is your once-a-month attendance, make it twice a month this month, all right? That'll be your New Year's resolution. But before I got there, I asked the question, because as I was thinking about what I want to see in my life this year, I thought maybe I should ask the Father what he wants to see in my life this year. You know, because a lot of times I'm always starting my new year, and I'm just kind of, you know, I'm taking, you know, like a gardener, right? Like a gardener. Has anyone in here planted tomatoes or anything before? Yeah, okay. Are you guys good? Yeah? Yeah, so, yeah, some of you guys are bold about it. I'm terrible at it. This year I did get tomatoes, though, so I was pretty impressed with it. I know it's like the easiest plant, but I did it, so I brought a straw hat and everything. I'm ready for life, yeah. Thank you. I was waiting for that applause, and that was a little weak, but you'll see. You'll see my tomatoes next year. No, man, and I got my tomatoes going this year. It was a lot of hard work. It's a long story. Forget about it. And I like to look over everything that we gardened this last year. And I was looking at, I have a little 4x4 box, you know, and I have all these little planters, and I was looking over everything. I was going, man, our peppers did really good, except when the deer ate them, but after that, it went really good. And I was looking at my tomatoes, and we accidentally grew pumpkins at one point. It was kind of fun. We had a bunch of random pumpkins show up, and it was really fun, actually. And I was looking at it, and then this year, I was looking at how well the fruit did, and I thought, okay, this year, I'm going to really focus in on tomatoes and peppers, and maybe we could grow some potatoes, you know. I hear those are easy. And I was looking all over that stuff, and the entire time I'm looking at the garden, let me actually just use that analogy for my own life. The entire time I was looking at my year, I never once stopped and said, Father, what is it that you want me to do? You know, it was always about what I wanted to see and less about what he wanted to see. And I got kind of convicted, not in a bad way, more kind of like the conviction that kind of gets you excited, like, wait a minute, I could ask you. I don't have to decide to go to the gym. Maybe he doesn't want me to go to the gym. How great would that be? What if he's like, don't do it, you know? Eat unhealthy. Tom, that's what I made you for, you know? I don't know. And I don't know. So I'm thinking like, man, let me go before the Lord. And as I was praying, one of the things that I encourage you to do is sometimes you're looking for the voice of the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you, and I encourage you to do that. But there's another tool in your bag. It's called your Bible. I said, man, let me get into my Bible. What are some things that maybe the Word of God tells me to do? Because almost every New Year's resolution or any time that something changes, like a big birthday, like turning 30 or 40, you know, all of a sudden you go, man, I want to build some new habits in my life. And if you guys don't know, I'm a big fan of habits. You are too. Look to your neighbor and say, you love habits. Tell them right now, you love habits. They do. You didn't say anything to anybody. Just tell the guy behind you. He needs to hear it from you, okay? Yeah. I know, man, you love habits. And I know this because how many of you guys have an Instagram? Anyone in here? Okay, you're liars, okay? I can see you guys. I don't know why you guys think I can't see you, not raise your hand, all right? How many of you guys brush your teeth? Okay, that was not as good as I thought it would be, but that's pretty good, yeah. Those are habits, man, and you love habits. And I was thinking, man, God, what is it something that you call us to do as habits? What are the things you call us to do daily? And so today we're going to be talking about starting anew and getting some new habits in your life. And I got a list of 5 of them. We're only going to hit 4 because the 5th one is for next week. But I got 4 things that God calls us to make adjustments in our life. As we follow him, there's 4 scriptures I'm going to pull out today that all use the word daily. Daily. Oh, man. Yeah, because I like weekly habits, you know what I'm saying? Not brushing your teeth. I like doing that daily. But, you know, twice a day, by the way, and you should floss. That's good. The Dental Association is going to call me up and give me a promo for that. Yeah. No, man, but you should absolutely do these things daily. So I got these 5 things. And the reason why I want to talk to you about these things is because some of these things I put into practice a couple years ago, and it changed my life. And the very first one, I talk to you guys about every single Sunday. If there's going to be a scripture on my tombstone, it's going to be this scripture. It's the very first thing that you need to make a habit in your life that you do every single day. Forget the gym. Forget eating healthy. Forget about more time. This is what the Lord calls us to do. If you have your Bibles, I want you to flip to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Every Sunday, I quote this verse because this verse has changed my life. It says, therefore, by him, Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Your translation is going to say daily. Let us daily bring the sacrifice of praise. Now, how many guys in here love getting praised? It's okay. You can raise your hand. I know you do. Now, have you guys ever done something and no one noticed and you kind of got upset about it? Have you guys ever had that happen before? Yeah, I've had that happen too. Yeah. How many guys like to give praise? Anyone in here just, I'm kind of a bad habit of just over-flattering. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, Ryan, where are you? I saw you earlier. This guy, Ryan, he's a great guy. First time I met him, I felt his arm. Like, my golly. And his arms are huge, right? But now that's all I say to him. I kind of feel bad. I got to get a better compliment, you know? Because I like saying nice things. I like compliments. It's a lot of fun. But there's a thing that you're supposed to do continually before the Lord. And that says to bring your sacrifice of praise. And he uses the word sacrifice because there was this sacrifice of praise that they would do in the Old Testament. And he's saying, hey, listen, that's not what you have to do. You don't have to bring something to the altar. He says, no, I want you to bring the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. I love that it says that. You and I are to continually, with our lips, tell the Lord how great he is. You know why I love that? Because how many of you guys have a hard time praying out loud? Anyone in here have a hard time praying out loud? Yeah, me too sometimes, man. Praying out loud could be a lot of pressure. How many of you guys have ever prayed out loud and didn't feel like you were praying to God, but you kind of feel like you were praying to the room? You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay, super Christians. Okay, I felt that before, right? I've done that, man, where praying out loud's hard. And oftentimes when I'm in my house by myself or I'm alone, there's been times where when I pray, there's not a sound coming out of my mouth. It's all up here. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's all in your mind. And this scripture, though, it points out, says, no. You should have the daily sacrifice, a daily habit of using your words. Talking with the words of your mouth. Praising the Lord, giving thanks to his name. Look to your neighbor and say, you don't talk enough. Go ahead and tell him that right now. You don't talk enough. Look to your other neighbor and say, you talk too much. Go ahead and tell your other neighbor, you talk too much. Man, you need to shut it for a little bit. Hey, look, man, I'm telling you. This verse, I read this a couple years back. I remember thinking, okay, that's my new habit. Every day, I'm going to open up my mouth. I'm going to tell him how wonderful he is. Because I don't know if you know this, but praise is to give thanks. It's to recognize what he's done and who he is. That's what praise is. To recognize who he is and what he has done. And so I decided years ago, every day, I got this verse, Hebrews 13:15. And so I started doing that every day. And there's a bunch of verses in the Bible, man. I don't know. Does anyone in here drink a lot of coffee? Anyone in here drink a ton of coffee? Okay. You guys ever deal with anxiety before? You know what I'm saying? I know you don't need coffee to have anxiety, but I induce my own anxiety, okay? And I read this scripture because I used to deal with anxiety from all my coffee and never eating and, you know, all of a sudden you start thinking I'm in sin or something, you know, and all of a sudden I'm freaking out. And I read the scripture. It says, man, if you have anxiety, don't. Have supplications to the Lord and give him thanks. Like, praise him. There's other scripture that says, man, every time you come before him, praise him. It says, when you pray, we're going to read the scripture in a second. When you pray, praise him, give him thanks. You know what I love about that? Ever since I started doing it, I can't stop anymore. In fact, me personally, as a personal testimony, as I've praised the Lord, I've taken this one daily habit, all of a sudden it's like I want to sit and praise him. That's all I want to do. Sometimes I'll sit before him and I have nothing to ask of him. How many of you guys have ever noticed most of your prayers are asking of him? Father, will you bless my food? You guys have been praying for blessings over your food all your life. You must be the healthiest people in the world. You know what I'm saying? Every meal, it's blessed. Now, you've been praying, God, give me good rest tonight. Lord, help me. But this scripture says, no, you're supposed to do every day. It's not just come to him for your needs. That's good. I don't want to diss that. No. But it says, come to him and tell him of his goodness and give him thanks. Listen, this habit of praising him daily and taking on the word of God and saying, this will be my new resolution this year and for the rest of my life. Every day, I'm going to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. I'm going to use my words out loud. I'm not just going to whisper them. I'm going to let my praise be glorious, like David said. I'm going to use them out loud, and I'm going to talk about how good he is, and I'm going to give him thanks. Two things I want to point out. Number one, recognizing how good he is. I want you to know something. There's an enemy out there who's been trying to get you not to see him for how he is. And every circumstance you go through, you start looking at God going, why am I going through this? Why are you allowing it? You ever done that? You ever seen that question? If there's a good God, then why do bad things happen? Listen, there's a job that you have that goes against your flesh. Every day, regardless of what's going on around you, saying, Father, I see you. I see my circumstance, I see what's going on, but God, I see you. I've seen what you've done. I've looked in the word of God. I've seen you in my own personal life. You brought peace when I was in distress. I cried out to your name and you heard me. Father, I've got to praise you. I want to see who you are. I want to know, Father, you're the God who holds the galaxies in your hands. He says this in scriptures. He knows the stars by their name. I have a hard time pointing out Orion's belt. That's three stars. He says, I know every star by name. He says, not just that, man. I'm the God of all creation. Before me, John chapter 1, there was no creation. Everything that's created is by me. It's his. He says, this is who I am. You know, the enemy has got you forgetting who he is. And you know what happens when you forget who he is? You will run to every idol there is for your help. You'll run to every other solution. You'll run, because the enemy knows if he can get you to forget the power and who God is, he can get you running to everywhere else for your help. He can have you worried about everything you read on Twitter, on the news. I hate that joke. I love that joke, but I hate that joke. You know what I'm talking about? Oof. He knows, man, if you don't remember, he could fool you. So the habit of praising God every day, what it does is it keeps you in a place of going, this is who my God is, lest I forget. Lest I forget, he's the one who has been my provider and my shelter. He's been the one that in the midst of crying out, he heard me. But it's not just what he or who he is, it's what he has done. There's this great story. It's a story that Jesus, this is a historical story. Jesus heals 10 lepers, and all of them take off, and they go home, okay? And that's a big deal, because in this time, if you had leprosy, you were kicked out of the neighborhood. Could you imagine you got, like, some disease, and the city of Atlanta is like, sorry, buddy, you're going to Conyers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're out of here. You got to sit out there. I live in Conyers. I'd be mad about that, you know? I'm like, oh, get them out of Conyers. Send them to Covington, you know? Get them out. But that's what was happening. They would set out the city gates. And the reason why was because that disease was really contagious, and they didn't have the tools at the time to keep it at bay. So they said, all right, just remove them all the way out of the city. They sit outside the city. Remove them from their families, their friends, their business, their jobs. And what would happen is their families would have to go out there and feed them because they couldn't work. There was no trade for them. And it was a really miserable, miserable place. Rejected, dejected. You're just a nobody. You're just hoping for a miracle because you won't ever be able to go back and sit in the house at the dinner table with your family again. And he sees these 10, and they call out to him and say, will you heal us? And he says, yeah, go to the priest. Follow what the law says, and you'll be healed. And as they're walking to the priest, they're healed. Their sores are disappearing. It says, out of the 10, 9 of them went straight home. And I legit get that. I'm going to be real with you guys. I go to work for like 8 hours a day, 9 hours sometimes. And when I'm driving home, I'm so excited to go home. Did anyone else feel that? Imagine going to work for 3 years, you know? And you finally get to go home. These guys are excited. They get to go be back with their family. They get to hug their kids again. And they go back. And this is what I've always thought. I bet you they were thankful in their mind. You know what I'm saying? I bet you they were like, this is so great. I bet you they were walking going, that Jesus guy is just so cool, you know? I bet you they had grateful hearts, you know what I'm saying? That they had the attitude of going, I'm just grateful for what's happened in my life. But only one of them goes back to Jesus, only one. And this is what he does. With his lips, with his words, he shouts out and goes, thank you. I recognize you. I'm looking at you. I'm not just grateful and looking back going, that was a really great thing he did. No, no, I'm coming to you to tell you thank you. And it says that he fell down before him and he gave his thanks. And this is what Jesus says. He says, weren't there 10 of you? But only one came back to give thanks. You know what that tells me? That a thankful heart is not the same thing as giving thanksgiving. Having a good attitude for what's happened is not the same as taking time and looking to the Father and saying, God, I got to give you thanks for what you did in my life. Do you know how many times God's done great things in my life and I just kept moving along, not stopping? The scripture says, no, 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 no. Make this your new habits. Every day, stop. Every day. And let me just say this. This is how you make praise a habit. If you want to make this a habit, you practice remembering what God has done. Does anyone in here got a testimony of what God has done in your life? Man, I got testimonies, dude. I got testimonies of being physically healed. I got testimonies of my finances being taken care of. I got testimonies of people telling me things just at the right moment. You ever have that one? And it's like, man, I got life all of a sudden. Man, I have testimonies of, this is my favorite one. We didn't have a paycheck. The first year here, we gave up our paycheck. It was a long story. It wasn't because we were such honorable people. I just really believe that's what God wanted us to do. And I remember me and my wife were afraid that we weren't going to be able to feed our kids. You know, we have a responsibility. And a school bus, our kids are homeschooled, okay? A school bus found us by a fig tree away from our, that was the most biblical sounding thing, isn't it? We were by the fig tree, you know? We're taking communion or something. I don't know what we're doing over there. No, we're by a fig tree. It's like on the other side of the neighborhood. And a school bus drove by. And they stopped. They're like, hey, you guys want some lunch? Yeah. And they give us 6 lunches and breakfasts. It was cool. My wife texted me and just said, man, what a testimony. You know, I was just struggling, thinking, God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to obey you? We're not going to have any pay. How are we going to feed the kids? And all of a sudden, breakfast and lunch got delivered to us at the fig tree. I'm thinking, that's a cool testimony. That was enough. That was a Friday. Saturday, no one shows up. Sunday, no one shows up. Monday morning, we don't know how they did it. Monday morning, they pulled up in front of our house. That bus, that school bus honked the horn. Hey, you little homeschooled kids, you know. And they handed us food. They did that for an entire year. We had so much chocolate milk, we didn't know what to do with it. We were throwing away chocolate milk. Have you ever had so much, you're throwing it away? We couldn't contain it. I got testimony after testimony after testimony. And the scripture says, listen, every single day, make this your new habit. Praise him. Look at how good he is. Remember what he's done. I want to tell you right now, church, you want your life to be new? Start praising the Lord every day. Amen. You want a new joy and a new peace in your life? Start remembering what he's done and start giving him thanks for who he is. I'm telling you right now, you don't need the gym as much as you need praise in your life. You don't need more time with your kids. I want you to know those are good things. Those are great things. As much as you need praise in your life. To stop and say, Father, I see who you are and I give you thanks for what you've done. That's number one. But number two goes right along with it. If you have your Bible, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's this great scripture, man. Paul writes, you've probably heard the real Christian dude saying it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know what's crazy about that scripture? Wait, time out. Look to your neighbor and say, praise him. Go ahead, just tell him right now. Pray. Tell him, praise him. Go ahead, tell him that. Say, tomorrow, praise him. Go ahead, tell him that right now. Come on, they're not listening to me. They're listening to you. Praise him. But this next scripture is a wild habit. Because this way of changing what's been in your life to a new thing, it puts it really clearly in there. It says, pray without ceasing, giving thanks to your Lord Jesus, right? It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay. Has anyone ever thought, God, what's your will for my life? You guys ever thought that before? Read your Bible, okay? Because it is laid out pretty thick. Now, this is one of many things that he says, this is the will for you. But one of the things that the Lord desires for you is that you pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. Prayer is the act of having open communication with God. I got a dog, Sadie. I love my dog. I hate my dog, but you guys know what it's like to have a dog, right? Like sometimes it's the best thing in the world when you're like, when my family's not around and it's just me and my dog, Sadie, it's the best. When she runs out of my house and escapes, like we've been torturing her or something, and she runs to all of my neighbors asking for help, I hate her. You guys know what I'm talking about? And it's my neighbor's fault. If you're watching, my neighbor, stop feeding her rotisserie chicken. That's why she's going to your house. We're good dog owners. Anyways, I love my dog, dude. And you know what I love about my dog, Sadie? Is that Sadie is constantly looking to me for communication. You guys have a dog? Have you noticed, like, the slightest adjustment you make, they're like, what's going on? What are you doing, you know? Yeah, like, just using the restroom. Like, let me come and make sure you're okay in there. Like, okay, you know? My dog is tight, dude, because literally every time I even speak words, she is listening intently. If I say the word ball quietly, what are you saying, man? You know? She's always ready for my word. I mean, literally, she's waiting on me. Constantly, she's waiting on me. Constantly, she's waiting to hear. And then every morning, just this morning, I woke up before the kids got up, and I'm over there, and I was doing my journaling. I like to journal every day. And she came to me, and she sat at our back door that goes outside to our backyard, and she whined at me. She gave me some crying. I can't do it, but you know what a dog sounds like. I don't know why I'm doing that. She was communicating to me, I need to go out. I need to use the restroom. I'm like, yeah, of course, go have fun. I'm not going to watch you like you watch me. You just go do your own thing. And then she'd come back in, and she'd scratch the door, and she communicates to me. And then she sits at my feet, and she waits for me. And she wants to know whatever I'm doing. If I get up and I go outside, she's begging to go out with me. If I get my truck, she wants to be in that truck. I love my dog because she's a perfect example of what this will of God is for our lives. That you and I would be at his feet waiting for his call. That we'd be open in communication to him saying, Father, I need to speak to you, but I'm also have a listening ear for you right now. I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what's happening, Father. I want to hear you. This is what the will of God is for you. That you would know what he's saying and you could speak to him too. He wants you to be in a place where you're like in a killer relationship with him. And not relationship like fuzzy feelings. Relationship like I see who you are, God. I recognize who you are. And my attention is on you. Pray without ceasing. Well, how in the world do you do that? How in the world do you become someone who's praying without ceasing? I get it. I get that this is supposed to be every moment of every day. I'm supposed to be in this place. But how do I get there? Because let's be real. There's a lot of stuff asking for your attention, isn't there? I notice a lot of you dads keep looking at my shirt with jealousy. I get it, yeah? A lot of things. There's a lot of things calling your attention. Now, I'm driving down the street on the freeway. I think billboards should be illegal sometimes because I'm just like reading these little prints. Like, oh, that's interesting, you know? There's so much grabbing your attention. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this, but like 2 weeks ago, apparently there were drones all over. They disappeared, so you might have forgot about it. But that was like, there's just things grabbing your attention. So how in the world do you do this? Well, there's two things you got to do. Go back to habit number one. Remember, give him thanks. God, I remember what you've done. I'm going to give you thanks. But number two is to make room. When's the last time you stopped what you were doing? And just said, wait a minute, God, let me just check in with you. When's the last time in the middle of work you decided, I'm going to pause for a second? Now, I can't pray publicly because they'll fire me. So you ran to the restroom and you just sat in the restroom for a second and said, God, I want to hear from you. I want to make time for you. When's the last time you were at home and you're just at home? You weren't doing anything. Instead of watching TV or doing whatever else, you just stopped and said, I'm going to make some room right now, Father. What are you saying? When's the last time that you said, man, I'm going to be someone who makes time? to be in communication with you, Father. I don't know if you know this, but this habit, this is God's desire for you. I don't know if you know this, but he's been dying to speak to you. He wants to show you things that are hidden. I don't know if you know that. He's been waiting for you to show you how to be a better mother or a better father. He's been wanting to show you what it looks like to be a man or a woman of God. He wants to show you things. And he's saying, man, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that you would always be in communication with the Father day in and day out. You got to make room. Can I just tell you right now, if you start making room for prayer every day, you're going to start hearing the voice of the Lord a lot more. One of my favorite quotes is this. They said, man, if you want to hear God's voice more, the trick is to listen more. Wow, yeah. That's something like you read off a fortune cookie, but it just hits. If you want to hear God's voice more, you got to open the communication more. That means you got to stop, pay attention. You got to be like my dog Sadie. No matter what's going on around you, every time you hear the voice, you perk up. Wait a minute, God, you got something to say to me I want to hear. Every time you're in need, the first place you go isn't to your friends and family. Every time you're hurt or broken, isn't because you go to everybody else. You say, Father, where are you? I got to go to you first. The habit you got to build is prayer continually. I got two more I got to hit on because this one's a really big one. Pause. Look to your neighbor. Look at him right in the eyes and say, pray a little bit more. Go ahead and tell him that right now. Go ahead and tell him just a little bit. Make room. Number three, I'm gonna make you talk to your neighbor a lot on this one. Yeah, you're gonna hate me. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Habit number three. Number one, praise him daily. Number two, pray daily. Number three, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't like talking to people every day. I do. I lied to you. I love talking to people. I'll talk to a tree. Yeah. But I know you have a hard time with that sometimes. It says every day exhort. If you don't know what exhort means, it means strongly encourage. It's a word that goes a little bit harder than just uplift one another with kindness. No, it says strongly encourage one another daily. Look to your neighbor and say, why haven't you called me? Go ahead and ask them that right now. Why haven't you called me? Yeah. Where are you at? I just heard someone say, I'll text you. Get over it. Yeah. That's clever. Scripture said, no, every single day, let this be a habit greater than the gym. Let this be a habit greater than waking up early. Look to your friends, your neighbors, the brothers and sisters in Christ, and exhort them. That means to encourage them. That means to correct them. That means to lift them up. Means becoming someone who's pushing them to the next level. I don't know if you know this, but I'm hitting three habits that you're supposed to pick up yesterday. Praise the Lord, sit before him and pray daily and unceasingly. Thirdly, encouraging your brothers and sisters. And then it says why. It says while it's still called today, as in don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't think, oh, I'll call them up tomorrow. No, it says right now, exhort them, encourage them, lest they be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Man, I want to tell you something right now. There has been an explosion of sexual morality and lying and stealing and justifying deceit within the church. There's been a hardening of the hearts of Christians where their prayer lives are cold and dry because there's just been all this perversion in their heart and they're kind of walking around. You know, there's that one scripture, and it freaks me out, man. But he says, man, you know, there'll be many on that day who will come to me, Lord, Lord, did I not do that? He says, I never knew you. And it scares me because there's like these Christians calling him Lord. And they've just been bound up because this next part says, you're workers of iniquity. Like, you've been so bound in sin, you know? And I'm looking at the scripture, and it says, you know what one of the cures for that is? Exhorting one another. You know what's crazy? You know why there's been an explosion? Because wherever there is money, isolation comes with it. And you'll see that. Wherever there's great comfort, we say, well, we don't want anyone to come into my home right now, you know? And we're the richest nation that's ever existed. Even the poorest in our nation are richer than half the world. In fact, it's like 3/4 of the world. We're a rich nation. And so what happened? All of a sudden, as we become so comfortable, and this is across the board, don't think you're exempt from this. You've gotten so comfortable in your riches that you thought, man, I am okay. I feel good. It's good for me to have people over at my house just once a month, maybe sometimes twice a month. It's good for me. I need my personal rest time. It's like, dude, you got more rest than anybody in history. You got a couch, y'all. You ever think about that? That's like the Queen of Sheba stuff, dude. And you just got one randomly you pulled out of a trash can. It's like, no, you got it good. And so what happened? You and I became so rich that we decided, well, I don't need strong community. I'm okay by myself. In fact, I'll be perfectly okay with a tiny, fragile relationships where they're not deep. No one knows even my problems and my sin. People don't even know. In fact, you've been so alone for so long, you didn't know everybody else was dealing with sin. And you've been so isolated that you forgot that you're supposed to be every single day. Some of y'all don't even have that option. You've isolated yourself so much. Exhort one another daily. You're thinking to yourself, how am I supposed to do that? My community is so broken apart. I mean, the people I see in this room, I see them once every other week when I show up to church, or if they show up to church. Look to your neighbor and say, go to church. Just tell them that right now. Yeah, go to church. Stop skipping, you little jokers. It says, exhort one another daily. You know what really gets me about this? How many of you guys have ever felt like you should call someone up and encourage them? And you thought to yourself, I'll do it later. And then a week goes by and you find out that they're messed up and you had the word for them. You know what gives me about that? Is that if this says, while it's still called today. In other words, he's giving an instruction, don't do that. Now he says, as soon as you know that you need to encourage someone, do it in that moment. Well, it's in the middle of the night. I woke up, it's 3:00 in the morning. Call them. Well, I don't know, man. This is tough because, you know, I kind of like to mind my own business. I don't know if you know this, but Christianity doesn't call us to mind our own business. In fact, it calls us to get into each other's business. In fact, that's what the scripture is saying. It's saying, hey, exhort one another. If someone's dealing with sin, don't just go to your neighbor and be like, dude, so-and-so is really screwing up. No, it says, jump in with them. Brother, my sister, wake up. We got to get out of here. Oh, man, I got to pull you from the fire. This is what you're supposed to be doing daily. Not in your small groups alone. I love that, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing this daily. That's what your Instagram story's for. That's what your phone text messaging is for. Oh, brother, I want you to know the Father has good things. Do not forget to praise him today. Oh, sister, I hope that you're praying today. But you got to break something. You got to start telling yourself no. It's the next one I'm going to talk about. This is my last one. That's where I'm landing. The next habit you got to pick up is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Have you guys ever read a scripture and just thought, I don't like that scripture? You guys ever done that before? Because I like myself. I like it when I'm tired. I get to choose what I want to do. He said, no, you got to deny yourself. And then he says, take up his cross daily. Take up your cross every single day. And follow me. You see, all these habits I talked about, you know, there's some easy habits. I have, we call it an addiction, but I call it a habit. I love my phone. Have you guys ever looked at your screen time before? Yeah, oh my gosh, right? But here's the deal about your screen time. It's a dopamine hit. You like those habits. It feeds the flesh. Some of you guys got habits that are about, you know, eating. I used to do this, no joke, a bag of chips at nighttime. You guys ever done that before by yourself? Man, some kettle jalapeno chips. I could eat a whole bag by myself doing nothing. I got habits, right? And those feed my dopamine. They feel good in my body. But I just read you some biblical daily habits. And none of them are stuff that you want to do. I'm going to be real honest with you. You don't want to stop and praise the Lord. Most of you don't want to stop and take time to remember. You're too busy dreaming. You don't want to stop that. That's like kind of against the flesh. Man, you don't want to go around and pray and make room for the Lord. You got too much on your plates. There's other things to think about and talk about. You're not looking to do that. It's against you. You don't want to encourage your brothers and sisters. You don't want to call them. I mean, you can look around the room. They're all great people, but you're thinking, I don't want them over at my house. That means I got to clean it, you know? Now, what if they stay too late? And all of a sudden, you're feeling this resistance from the best habits God could call you to. Because all these habits, man, these are life-changing, starting fresh kind of habits. You know, I love the gym. I love all those great things that we talk about. But man, these ones, these are the ones the Father tells us to take on. These are the resolutions that are life-changing. But there's this thing inside of us that we just go, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm not preaching some new sermon. This is some new ideology. You guys all know this already. If you come to our church more than one time, you've heard me quote Hebrews 13, 15 about praising the Lord every day. You know that prayer is supposed to be what you're doing. You know that. No, you know that you're supposed to be encouraging one another, inviting them in. There's this part of you. No, it's you. You don't want to. So this last habit, the Father says, hey man, this is the truth that you got to hear. This is, it's heavy, but there's something good at the end. So just hang in there. He says, it's heavy, man. He says, dude, if you desire to be this Christian, to come after me, Christian, one who is like Christ, one who follows Christ, if you want to be Christian, he says, then you have to deny yourself. You know, when you hear that voice and you know what you should do, but there's this big other voice telling you that you'd be a lot more comfortable doing something else. He says, you got to deny that one and hang on to this other one. And then he says this really tough word. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I don't know, God, this doesn't sound like a real fun life. Pick up my cross? That's not some figurative thing. He's talking about a crucifix. He's talking about an execution. He said, you want to follow me? Then you have to pick up your death every day. You want to follow me? You've got to tell yourself in your own words, I'm not going to do what's good for me. I'm going to pick up a cross. That is against my nature. I've been reserving my life. I've been preserving my life day in and day out. But if I got to follow you, you're telling me I got to be someone who's willing to suffer like you suffered. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus didn't have to suffer. He said, Lord, I don't want to, but I will. That's what your master did. That's what your King Jesus, that's what our Father did. And then he says, if you want to follow me, you got to do it too. I didn't want to pick up that cross. I begged him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's another way, but you know what? Not my will. I will deny my own desires. And then he says, if you want to follow me? This is what you got to do daily. Not one time at a prayer, not at one church service. You know, some of us, we took on Christianity and then we softened it as we went down. He says, no. Every single day, Father, I will suffer like you suffered. I will deny my own desires. I don't want to wake up early to pray. Prayer is boring. But you know what, Father? It's not about what I want. If this is the will for my life from you, then this is what I'm going to do. No, Father, I don't want to call up my buddies. I don't want to invite them in the middle of the night. But Father, I will deny myself. If this is my suffering, oh God, I am weak. I will deny myself, Father. Here I am. And everything I kind of tell you, like, well, how do you make it a habit? You know, what do you do? And this one, there's only one way to make this something that you will actually do daily. The only way you'll be someone who says, I'm going to pick up my cross every day. The only way you'll be someone who says, you know what? I'm willing to suffer against my own desires. I'm willing to deny myself. Because I'm telling you, that's a pretty big, tall order to fulfill every day. The only way you'll ever be able to do that is to recognize when Jesus died on the cross and they buried him, something miraculous happened 3 days later. He was resurrected. And he came above death and he walked amongst men. And he revealed himself and he said, this is who I am. And he spoke secrets into them. And then it says he ascended into heaven and he sent down his Holy Spirit upon his people. And then Paul later on writes down, he says, listen, there's this hope that we have to live the way he's called us to live. That hope is this. Is that when we die, we will be resurrected too. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's in us too. And if you could look beyond what the cross was and see the power of God in the resurrection, and you recognize that it's for you too, and you can look up ahead of your suffering and your denying of yourself, and you can look up ahead of going, man, I don't want to pray, but I can see something in the future. He has a crown for me. Wait a minute, no. I see something up ahead. He's put a place for me in his heavens. If you can look up ahead and say, wait a minute, I might suffer today, but he's promised me a resurrection tomorrow. You know what happens when you can start looking up ahead? You can say, if that's the reward, then I could deny myself. If I could see his reward, and I'll be honest with you, some of you guys don't know his rewards, but I want you to know something. His word is full of his promises. He says, there will be no more tears. Oh, there will be no more sorrow. All you got to do is just make the habit, deny yourself today, but I got a great hope for you in the future, my son, my daughter. Oh, I got a resurrection for you. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? You want to be someone who follows after Christ? You got to do a lot. You got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. Daily pray. Daily praise him, exhorting one another. But he says, I'm not going to just tell you to do something and suffer. He says, I'm telling you to do this because there's something greater to come. And my whole sermon can be summed up like this. Take on the habits that Christ calls you to daily, because the reward in the future is greater than the rewards right now. And if you could look up ahead and say, Father, I see the hope of the resurrection, you could deny your own flesh. You could do what's impossible. You could forgive those who hurt you. You could give mercy to those who don't deserve it. You could be generous when you have nothing, because your hope is where he is. And you say, Father, if getting to you is suffering, then that's what I will do. I will lay my life down daily. Will you stand to your feet right now? I got to close this out in prayer. Go ahead, every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to pray over you real quick. Next week, I got to talk about his provisions and the year of Jubilee, and it's really exciting. But today, I know a lot of us in here have been struggling with just being able to pray daily. We've had that on our agenda for a long time. Some of us have a hard time being thankful people. We just feel like we've been surrounded by just negative things, and you've been struggling this whole time going, man, I gotta praise him. I gotta give him thanks. There's not a lot to give thanks for. Some of you in here have been avoiding your brothers and sisters so you can enjoy the comfort of now. And you go, man, I don't know. That's gonna be really hard. Then you read that other scripture and it's like, man, I gotta deny myself to be a Christian. Like, that's the only way to follow you? That's the call? I want to pray over you that the hope of his reward would fulfill your heart's desires even today. That you would be so full of the hope of the resurrection. You'd be so full of the hope of his salvation. You'd be so full that you'd say, I can easily lay down today because I have tomorrow with my master. So if you're in this house today and you're going, man, those are the godly habits, those are the desires that God has for me, and I want some help on those things. I just want you to raise your hand up real high. I'm just gonna pray over you right now, the promises of God. Father, I pray for every hand in this house, every single hand, Jesus, who's going, I wanna make these my daily habits. If that's what God wants for me, then I wanna start anew. Father, I pray right now over every man, woman, and child in this room who has their hands up. I pray, Father, that you would reveal the hope of your glory to them. That, Father, they would have a drive in their life for the rewards and the goodness of heaven. That, Jesus, they would be people, Father, that denying their own flesh would only be because they see your goodness. And, Father, they would see that your promises are true. God, I pray that they would today, right now, Father, in this moment, that you would start speaking to them about what it means to live in eternity. Father, that you would speak to them about how you would take their sorrows and their pain. Father, that you would speak to them that your promises are good and that your Son has shown us the way to receive them. That, Father, they might have the courage to deny themselves and pray, to give you thanks, to pick up their cross and exhort one another. That, Father, they'd be full of the hope of your resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hey, keep every head bowed for just a second longer. If you're in this house and you've never given your life to the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm not going to have you come up on stage. I'm not going to have everyone look at you. But everyone in this room who has given their life to Jesus, we all did pretty much the same thing. We just prayed to God, Father, do something in me. And he heard us. And he changed us. And today, if you're in this room and you've never given your life to the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. But it's not just you, because maybe you're in this room and at one point you did follow Jesus. At one point, you did pray this prayer. At one point, you did go get that Bible and you started reading it, but somewhere, something in life, you got sidetracked. You fell away. You backslid. Maybe it was hurt and pain. Or maybe you just got too busy and today you're going, wait, I want to come back to the Father. I want to give you an opportunity as well. And this is what I'm going to have you do. I'm not going to have you do anything else but lift your hand up. No one's going to see you but me and maybe two other people who decide to peek. But if you're in this room today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or today you want to come home, what I want you to do is I just want you to lift your hand up real high. Come on. Come on. I love that. That's a testimony. Come on. Come on. I love that. That's a testimony. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, church, we're all going to pray this prayer together, but those who raised your hand, I want you to hear me out real quick. The Father is not mad at you for the leaving. He's not mad at you for the missing. He's been waiting for you to return. We're going to talk about this next week, but we're in the time of his favor. He's given you forgiveness. He just wants you to take it. So we're going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. And we're all going to pray this prayer as a whole church. Everyone's going to repeat after me, but for those who raise your hand, you too who raise your hand, I want you to hear me out real quick. This can mean everything or it can mean nothing. It's up to you. Make it mean everything. Amen. Let's pray this together, church. Will you repeat after me? Dear Father, I need you right now. Come into my heart. Change who I am. Make me new. I pray today that you forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. And today, Father, I give you my life. I am yours. Whatever you wish, Father, I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, yo, this is Pastor Tommy. I just want to say thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I hope that sermon encouraged you. I hope that last ending prayer meant something for you. I hope that you are being transformed. I hope you are growing. I hope you're choosing God's dream in your life over your own. Real quick, I just want to encourage you. If you don't have a church, I want you to find a local church. There is something really important in the Bible that says to encourage one another, to do good, to love one another, and not forsake the fellowship. I just want to encourage you. Find a church. If you want to come to the Atlanta Dream Center, or maybe you want to participate by giving, I want you to go to www.atlantadreamcenter.com. On our website, you can find our location, you can give, and you can see what upcoming events are going on. Listen, God bless you. Again, thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope to see you in church soon. Be blessed.